Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here Wednesday, December the 8th, 2021, 18 minutes past the hour. And we're going to be joined at, about half past the hour this morning by the granddaughter of the Queen of Etiquette, Emily Post, Lizzie Post, to discuss holiday etiquette. Looking forward to that, starting at 9:30 this morning. Now, I do want to continue on with what we were doing for the next 12 minutes. Does anybody want to enter anybody into the fruitcake toss? If you do, give us a buzz, 740-383-9944. And again, we have to have 15 people by the time I go off the air at 1 o'clock Friday to make this event happen next week. Now, right now, we've only got four. We've only got Sarah, Adam, Randy Stahl, and Ralph. Now, if you would like to nominate somebody or get in yourself, give us a buzz at 740-383-9944. And again, no money's involved here. There's no entry fee, nothing like that. It is just for the fun of the holiday season to see who can throw a fruitcake the furthest or farthest, and the winner will get a prize. So that is how that all stacks up at this point. 740-383-9944. Would you like to enter anybody in the contest to throw a fruitcake? And the event will happen next week, one day after 6 p.m. here at the station. I would imagine probably early in the week. Takes about 20 minutes. It's not a very long event. But you would be the fruitcake champion of the year. 2021. Go ahead, caller.
Morning, Scott. It's Pastor Craig. How you doing?
Good. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Hey, you can put myself down for the fruitcake toss, and you can put down a friend of mine, Barry Hensley, for the fruitcake toss.
Oh, Barry Hensley and yourself. All right. Well, now we are up to six people.
Sounds good.
Moving in the right direction. Hey, thanks, Pastor, and thanks for the card.
Oh, hey, you're welcome. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, well, we got two more there. Well, we're moving in the right direction. We're almost halfway there. We've now got Sarah, Adam, Randy Stahl, Ralph, Pastor Craig, and Barry Hensley involved in the fruitcake toss, which, again, will take place next week. As soon as we get to 15, I can give you the date on when this will happen. And all there is to it is just tossing a fruitcake, underhand toss. That's all you have to do. Toss the fruitcake, however far it goes, we'll mark that off, and whoever throws the fruitcake the furthest will be the champion. All right, we have six people so far. Sarah, Adam, Randy Stahl, Ralph, Pastor Craig, and Barry Hensley. Now remember, you do have to show up to toss the fruitcake. Go ahead, caller.
Can we put you and Angie in?
Well, sure, we can do that. I imagine I'll be there. I'll toss a fruitcake, and I'm sure Angie will as well, so we're
all
both
right in. All right, thanks.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Now, see, and that's a good way to nominate other people. You can do that as well. So now myself and Angie are in the fruitcake toss. So we've got Sarah, Adam, Randy Stahl, Ralph, Pastor Craig, Barry Hensley, myself, and Angie Evers all in the fruitcake toss. So now we're up to eight. We only need six more people by the close of business on Friday to make this happen. Only six more bodies. Go ahead, caller.
Yay, I'm not the only girl anymore.
No, now you're going head-to-head with Angie in this.
Hey, I went to the laundromat Saturday because my washer quit working. And just want to let you know, this coming Saturday at Colonial Coin Laundromat, both locations between 11 and 2, one of the local churches, sorry, I can't remember which one, but one of the local churches is doing a laundry ministry. You can wash and dry clothes for free.
Now, this coming Saturday, So that will be what? What today's the 8th and 9th? It'll be the 11th? December 11th?
Between 11 and 2.
Between the and it's which two laundromats?
Colonial Coin.
And that's on Main, right?
And Bell Fountain.
And the one on Bell Fountain. And you can wash and dry for free.
Yes.
Well, hey, you know what? That's great. Hey, thanks for giving us the word on that.
No problem.
Appreciate it. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. Well, how about that? Now, that is an important thing to know. This coming Saturday, December the 11th, at Colonial Coin on Main Street and Bell Fountain Avenue, from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m., there'll be a coin ministry going on with one of the churches. What a great idea, in which they will pay for your washing and drying this coming Saturday. We'll mention that more as the week goes on. Okay, the fruitcake toss. We've got 7 more minutes here until Lizzie Post will be joining us. We've got 8 people in the fruitcake toss, which means we only need 7 more. We're more than halfway there. If you can come up with 7 more people who will actually show up to toss a fruitcake on the grounds here, we'll do it. 7 more people. 740-383-9944. Remember, you can enter yourself or somebody else. And I think we have a unique prize that day. Now, remember again, no money involved to enter. No big deal there. But the person just does have to show up. So you can enter yourself or you can enter somebody else. And all it is an underhanded toss of a fruitcake. That's it. That's all there is to the event. 740-383-9944. Any more people to be involved in the fruitcake toss? Now, we've also got, let's see here. Well, we had the 2 questions from last hour, which I like. In 1941, how much did an orange marmalade cake cost at Kroger? 1941, it would have been July of 1941. How much did an orange marmalade cake cost at Kroger? And the other question, in July of 1941, how much did a dozen cans of peaches cost at Kroger? Now, if you get fairly close, I'll give you the answer. But you've got to be pretty close, because we're talking a matter of cents here. C-E-N-T-S, not S-E-N. You know, not brain sense. Go ahead, caller.
Was the cake 99 cents?
Not 99 cents, but that's a good guess.
Okay.
The cake was not 99 cents, but a good guess nonetheless. How much was the orange marmalade cake at Kroger in July of 1941. Now, this would be a regular-sized orange marmalade cake. Now, it would be really impressive, as I said in the last hour, if you walk into a Kroger today, east or south locations, and say, did you know that in July of 1941, 80 years ago, your cake of the month was orange marmalade? Go ahead, caller.
$1.19 for the cake.
Not $1.19, but a good guess. Not $1.19 for the cake. Orange marmalade cake. How much was the orange marmalade cake at Kroger in 1941? Many, many moons ago. 80 years. 80 plus years at this point. This was July of 1941. An orange marmalade cake. How much did it cost at Kroger in July of 1941? Or a dozen cans of peaches. How much did a dozen cans of peaches cost at Kroger in 1941? Does anybody know that one? 740-383-9944. Go ahead, caller.
75 cents.
Not 75. Good guess, though. Not 75 cents on that delicious orange marmalade cake. Boy, does it sound good. And there is a definition of the cake in here. 2 golden layers filled with orange marmalade, topped with orange frosting and coconut. Now, see, I like coconut. A lot of people don't like coconut, but I do. So this orange marmalade cake would be right up my alley. Now, orange marmalade is a jelly. Is it not? Isn't that what we consider orange marmalade to be? More of a jelly, I would think. Go ahead, caller.
Where was Kroger's located at in 1941?
You know, let me take a look here in this ad and see if it tells me. let's see if there's an address here. The ad's rather big, I'll tell you that. Okay. It's talking about the tenderness of their beef. Talking about iced tea. Let's see here down at the bottom if it's got a... It says, tune in to Linda's First Love on WLW. The editor's daughter is giving some programming notes. I do not see... This may have been a statewide ad, because I do not... Even though it's in the Marion Star, this is the Marion Star. It's on page 14, but it really does not give the address that I'm seeing here.
Yeah, sometimes they don't if they're for multiple occasions.
Yeah, I mean, and there's actually a picture of the orange marmalade cake in here, and boy, does that thing look good.
How about $1.29?
Not $1.29, but that's a good... Any guess on the peaches, the dozen cans of peaches?
Nah, I don't guess on that. You know, Kroger's used to be on David Street at one time, where an auto parts store used to be.
It might have been in 41.
I don't know if it was still there in 41, but that used to be a Kroger's at one time.
But we will see if anybody gets our cake right.
Yeah.
All right, thank you. All right, well, we're going to have Lizzie Post join us here in about 60 seconds. I'm looking forward to this holiday etiquette segment. And remember, I'll be on with Glenn Coble from 10 a.m. until 12 noon. Hey, nobody's entered Glenn in the fruitcake toss. And then Glenn will be on today from 12:10 until 1 p.m. with Swap Shop. Go ahead, caller.
On the cake, 75 cents.
Not 75. Good guess, though.
Okay.
We'll have Lizzie Post on here momentarily, so I guess we'll have to halt the calls for a moment. We might pick this back up with Glenn when I'm on with him from 10 a.m. until 12 noon. Go ahead, caller.
$1.99.
Not $1.99. Good guess. Not $1.99. And then Glenn will have a progressive life. Did I say Swap Shop today? I get my Swap Shop days wrong. He'll be on with a progressive life today from 12:10 until 1 p.m. And then I think there's a repeat episode of Offbeat News and Trivia with Nate Redmond today from 4 until 5 because Nate had his... was it gallbladder surgery yesterday? But I heard Nate's doing very well. Everything turned out good there, so we're all happy with that. And I imagine Nate will be back next week, as far as I know. And then the Trinity Baptist Church Sunday sermon tonight will be 6:10 until 7 p.m. So don't miss that here on WWGH Radio. All right, let's see if this is our... No. We're not taking any calls right now because we're waiting for our guest, but we will go back to the calls eventually. So stick with us after the 10 o'clock hour this morning, waiting for our guest Lizzie Post to call in to give us those holiday etiquette rules, do's and don'ts when it comes to the holiday season. And trust me, we need those from time to time. 31 minutes past the hour here, WWGH Radio. All right, let's see here. Okay. Well, let's do this. I think I have a number for Lizzie that we should be able to go to. She was getting the busy signal. That's never good. Okay. 32 minutes past the hour here, WWGH Radio. 32 minutes past the hour here, WWGH Radio time. And we're going to now go into our next segment, which we've been waiting to do here. This is going to be a lot of fun. Holiday etiquette, something we all need to know a little more about. And who better to go to for holiday etiquette than the granddaughter of the woman who really started it all, Emily Post, Lizzie Post. Lizzie, so good to talk with you. Happy holidays.
Hi, glad we could connect. And I should make a quick correction, Scott. I'm actually the great-great-granddaughter.
Great-great-granddaughter.
So two generations below what you're thinking. Yeah.
Now, in what era did Emily Post live? She lived into the 20th century, did she not?
Absolutely. She lived from about 1873 to 1960. So she really went from horse and buggy all the way through up to the microwave.
Now, as far as Emily Post goes, what is a story that has been passed down through your family about great-great-grandmother?
There's one that I think both highlights the mind of a child, but maybe a little bit of a spoiled child, but I think people love it because it's such one that breaks gender traditions, and that's that Emily was given 1 year, I don't know whether it was for her birthday or a holiday or just a gift, but a small China tea set. And what she had really wanted was some kind of toy engine, like a little truck or something. And so she smashed her tea set in hopes of getting the toy that she actually wanted. And it cracks me up for someone who became so known for something like tea and throwing tea parties and how to do it properly. But it was of no interest to her as a child.
That's a great story. When it comes to the Post family, there have been several members who have gotten into the etiquette business, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Why did etiquette appeal to you?
For me, it truly was an opportunity that I didn't want to miss taking. When I was in college, I was offered, I was studying art education, and had been planning to go into the world of art somehow. And when I was a junior in college, my father and my aunt had decided that they really needed a book that spoke to people living in their 20s, because often our books would go just straight from sort of a graduation of high school or college straight into, you know, work life, married life, you know, the getting married etiquette, that sort of thing. And they wanted something to kind of fill that gap for this kind of independent lifestyle that so many people in their 20s and even well into their 30s live. And they thought, who better to write it than someone that age? And I was really grateful that they chose me for that opportunity. And I just think that when someone comes around and offers you the chance to write a book, I think something that a lot of other people work really hard to try to get an opportunity like that. I did not want to turn that down. Later in life, I watched a TED Talk that was called 5 Minutes to Your Life's Purpose. And I highly recommend it. It's just five questions to your life's purpose. And they're five little questions. And once you answer them, you come out with a sentence. And it's supposed to kind of help you see if you're aligned on your life's purpose or not. And my sentence was really about that I really liked the helping people and the satisfaction that I got from it, and the connection. And that turned out to be something that I saw every single day in my work at Emily Post, whether it was answering the phone and there was a question asker on the other line, or it was doing interviews, or it was writing books. The advice that we give, I found it to be really in line with that life's purpose.
Huh. That's very, very interesting.
Giving me advice.
No, it's fascinating because in the last 24 hours, since we started promoting that we were going to have you on, I've had a lot of conversations with people about the term etiquette, because you know, there are terms like manners and social propriety, yeah, and things of that nature.
Politeness.
Yeah, yeah. So
civility.
Civility. And all these things, and just helpful hints, you know, the Heloise things that were done over the years.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Love Heloise.
Yeah, absolutely. And when she was on this show, now, is that etiquette? Is Heloise, what is etiquette?
Etiquette is, at least the way we define it at the Emily Post Institute, is that it's sort of made up of two things, manners and principles. And the manners, they change over time, they vary by culture, but they are the small acts or the expectations that we have of one another. We find that manners can be incredibly comforting. You know, if you're feeling nervous about an introduction,
it's really nice to lean back on the manners that we all know and actually do very regularly in our life. We smile and say hello. That's a very simple thing, and can give a lot of comfort when you know that okay, when I go meet my future in-laws for the first time, I'm gonna smile and say hello and shake their hand. I know how to do a handshake. You know, these things can really be comforting acts, but they're acts that they often display the principles of etiquette, but they do change over time and they vary by culture. And I think what's really fun and gives me a bit of job security is the fact that those manners change over time. You know, we don't leave PPC cards, or, young women don't necessarily need to be, and I think very few of them do nowadays, have a chaperone on their dates. The world that Emily wrote about has changed, and it has evolved and become something different, and those manners change along with it. The principles of etiquette at Emily Post, we say, are made up of or consist of consideration, respect, and honesty. And those actually cross cultural boundaries, and they are consistent throughout time. So when Emily was writing etiquette and writing about those chaperones or leaving that card on a, I mean, when she was writing fancy, she was writing about leaving it on the butler's tray in the entry, the foyer of someone's house. But the idea was that you were being respectful. You were greeting people in ways that they knew and understood. You were thinking about others. That most of our manners are actually rooted in these three things: consideration, respect, and honesty. And when there is no manner, I mean, Emily certainly did not write about cell phones. We had to figure out what the etiquette of cell phones and their usage around each other was. And it's shifted slightly over time, but for the most part, most cell phone etiquette is rooted in consideration, respect, and honesty. We want to be aware of the people that we're with. We want to be aware of the people we're connecting to through these things. And we want to make sure that our actions are being guided in this way. And so in general, we think of etiquette as being made up of these two things. And I think it's very easy to confuse etiquette with only being manners. And that's when we start to feel like etiquette can be trivial. I think it's much easier to take down any little act, whether it's a thank you note or a handshake or using your fork and knife a certain way, and try to really diminish or criticize it and just say it's completely worthless and ridiculous. But it's much harder to take that little act down when you can see and justify the ways that it's rooted in consideration, respect, and honesty. I think it's why we easily go to the to the idea that, oh, it's just etiquette is just these things that bind us, and it's only for elitists, and it separates and divides. And etiquette actually has a lot more power than that, and it's in connecting us and making sure that even though we are different, that we find ways to interact with one another and live with one another well.
Mm. That's a great definition of etiquette, and I think it clears up a lot of questions everybody had the last few days. Now, in this holiday season, there are a lot of things that go on that I think people don't know exactly how to properly respond to. Now, I want to start with decorations. I was driving in this morning, and there's a beautifully decorated house on the way to the station here, and that's always great. But a lot of times in your neighborhood, there will be a house that is maybe overly decorated, and it causes a traffic jam because people are trying to see this house, and just a lot of decorations. Now, what is etiquette when it comes to decorations, so you don't anger your neighbors, but you can still celebrate the season?
As I will be honest, this is the very first time I have ever received this question, and it's always nice to have a fresh one. I think that it's if you are going to do, like, I have no problem with a big display. I think that a lot of people get really into this holiday. I know last year, especially when we were dealing with tightened restrictions here in my home state of Vermont about who, like how many houses could gather together. Our governor gave the charge to light up Vermont, which did not mean to smoke anything, but it did mean to put your lights out, to make beautiful displays, to find that sense of community, even when we were really far apart, and it really worked. I don't mean to get choked up about it, but it really worked. Like, our community spent, every night you would see people walking the neighborhoods, looking at all the different displays, and even if they'd seen them every night for the week, they were still going the next week. My nephew, it was like the thing for us to do in the evening with him, you know? He was 3 at the time, and it just, it so contributed to a sense of community. It didn't matter what color the lights were, what, you know, what holiday you might be celebrating, it really brought a lot of joy to our community. So I'm going to be in the camp of saying it's always polite to participate. I think if you're going to do a display that has the potential to have people stop, maybe tune to a specific radio station to get the music that corresponds. We have someone like that on one of our streets here in South Burlington. And it's really cool. But you are right. It can cause traffic jams. It can cause a little bit of trouble. And I think that talking to your neighbors, letting them know that this is what you'd like to do, asking if they have any ideas, and the ideas aren't don't do it, but any ideas to sort of help soften any impact that it might have, that you're welcome to them, that you're open to them, having that open attitude of let me hear how this is affecting you so that I can better consider how I do it is definitely a way to go, as opposed to I have every right to put this up and you just have to deal with it, which is not a very polite, considerate, respectful. It is honest, but polite and respectful way to go about it. So I think being open to any ways that you can help sort of not cause slow-ups or traffic jams with a giant display are really helpful, being open to that kind of suggestion. It might not change anything, but it also at least lets people know that you aren't just sort of one of these, you know, comical characters almost from a Hallmark movie or something about decorations and competitions and things like that.
Well, and the next one is As Old as the Hills. So I'm glad we got a new question in there to open up, because this is an old one, but it's a problem every year. Somebody gets you a gift, and you did not get them a gift because you did not think there was going to be any kind of exchange of gifts. What do you do? How do you respond to that?
Well, I have very good news. Gift giving is not necessarily or inherently a reciprocal thing. There are plenty of times throughout the year where we give gifts and we don't have a gift in return. So what do you do during those times? You say thank you for the gift that you've just been given. So what do you do during the holidays when you've been given a gift and you don't have one in return? You say thank you for the gift that you've just been given. You focus on that wonderful act of generosity, that surprise. Oh my goodness, I wasn't expecting a gift from you. This is so delightful. Thank you so much for thinking of me. I really appreciate this. What you don't want to do is turn around and say, oh, you shouldn't have. I wasn't doing a gift for you this year. Or to instead lie and say, oh my goodness, I feel just terrible. I didn't know this was going to be our gift exchange moment. Your gift is at home. I still have to wrap it. You know, and then you run out and buy something and drop it off on their doorstep later in the week. It's completely unnecessary. You can certainly allow this moment to inspire you to give a gift to this person, to go out and get something or make something, do something for them. But you don't have to. And it is perfectly okay in the moment. Just focus on saying thank you and expressing your gratitude for that gift.
The next one drives me nuts, and it just came to my mind. But this this happens all. It happened this past weekend. A lot of times you get together with friends, maybe you don't normally get together with during the year, and you're not necessarily together on the holiday, but you go out and you eat, and then here comes the bill, and the person says, I want to pay for it. No, I'll pay. No, and they're almost fighting for the bill in the restaurant. What's the rule on who should pay the bill?
So typically, And we, like, original etiquette, right, like sort of classic etiquette says that the person who does the inviting does the paying. Today, I think we do a lot more suggesting with our friends. Like, I might call you up and say, hey, Scott, I'd love to, you know, I'd love for us to get together throughout this, you know, during this time of year. What do you think about us all going out to dinner Saturday night? And that has more of an organizational tone and sound and feel to it, which is, I think, what a lot of us are used to and expecting. Probably with good friends, we go into it just automatically thinking we're going to split the bill or we're each going to pay our own way. Really standard, really typical. If you really want to treat someone, you really want to make that clear in your ask. Hey, Scott, I love this season. I would love to treat you to dinner out Saturday night if you guys are available. So, A, such a lovely invitation. B, it makes it really clear what your intention is. If, for instance, let's say I was calling you up and saying, like, let's get together, and you really wanted to pay, when we're organizing that, that's the time for you to step up and do it. Oh, I would love to go out Saturday night, but please, will you let me treat you to dinner Saturday night, because I would really love to take care of it. I've been meaning to take you out for a while. This would just be such a great opportunity to do it. It makes it clear long before the bill ever comes. So I think the more you can do to establish whether this is just, you know, everybody splitting things, we're just gathering and it's kind of an organized thing, or whether it's actually I'm treating you to this, the better. In the moment when it happens, if someone's really insisting, I personally am not a big fan of confrontation, and so I'll give a couple tries back and forth. But if the person is just really, really insisting, I often just let it go, and I'll try to kind of put it in my mental bank that I'm going to do something for them later on, or I'm going to make a really clear invitation where I'm the one treating them. Is it something that would make you uncomfortable, like on a date, and you don't want to create that kind of dynamic of someone having paid for you and taken you out? I think it's very important to be very clear about that. I'm sorry, but that would actually make me really uncomfortable about this meal, and I'd like to preserve the good memories of it. Please, I insist on paying my own way.
That's a great tip. That do it in the invite. That's
do it in the invite.
That's very good. I like that. Every Christmas Eve, this started many years ago, I have a get-together at my home because I found that a lot of people don't have anything to do on Christmas Eve if they're not parents of young kids. And this party has turned into more of not a family event. A couple of my family members are there, but it's mainly just a fun party. Now,
yeah.
if people are coming over, should they bring a gift? Because I never tell people. If they do or don't, it doesn't matter to me. But sometimes they feel obligated.
Mm-hmm.
So should you bring a gift to a holiday party that's not a family event?
No, you do not have to. Hosting gifts are, they oftentimes, even among close groups of friends who might not give a host gift like throughout the year, I feel like holiday is a season where they might choose to, but it's not 100% necessary. This is actually one of those where I got a chance to listen to one of Emily Post's radio show episodes. They're housed in the Library of Congress, and I think they're owned by like NBC or CBS or something, which is why we don't have the rights to them, and we can't, like, share them with the world, even though we would love to. But in the show, Emily basically gets asked questions and answers them, and it's a really simple format for the show. But it's delightful because they have actors read the questions, and this young gentleman gets up to read his question, and he says, you know, I'm in town. I forget what his reasoning was, but he was traveling to this town. And he had, I think, like, met a woman on the train, and she said, oh, well, you know, you're in town, you know no one, please come over for dinner, my husband and I would love to have you. And he was asking Emily, should I bring chocolates or flowers or something? And she said, oh, my goodness, please do not, because you will be completely treating her hospitality as if it is needing to be bribed. And I loved that perspective that when someone issues you an invitation, it is not so that you can supply part of the meal. I mean, for a potluck, yes, but like, it's not so that you can supply part of the meal. It's not so that they can get something from you other than the pleasure of your company. I mean, that's how invitations used to be worded. The pleasure of your company is requested at dinner Saturday night, 8 o'clock. And it's so nice, I think, to keep that spirit alive with this advice, even though a lot of people won't show up to someone's house without something in hand, and I totally can respect that perspective as well. But it doesn't become a must. It becomes it's just an option. It's something that you could do if you wanted to. I don't think, as you said, Scott, I don't think you would feel bad at all with people showing up if they weren't bringing gifts. Your point is to throw the party and host them and have a good time. It's not about getting hosting gifts, you know what I mean?
Right. And so a lot of times,
keeping that in mind is important. Oh, sorry.
You know, and a lot of times the gifts that come, you really are not sure what to do with. It's always been strange to me that people bring poinsettias to a Christmas party when Christmas is over the next day. I think a poinsettia is a great Thanksgiving gift.
Oh, so that it stays the holiday season,
yeah.
And then it's out the door by New Year.
That's right. So, but it's an interesting one. Now, Christmas cards. Now, we're all getting to that point here on December the 8th where this is a problem, but I know why people procrastinate, because I've done it myself, is because
I'm currently doing it myself.
Yeah. You want to wait for them all to come in so you can mail them all back out in one heap. And not make, you know, a lot of trips to the post office, because most people don't have I guess you could just buy a book of stamps. But when is too late? Can you send a Christmas card that's going to arrive after Christmas? Do you have to send one back to somebody who sent it?
I think that it's funny. I tend to send more like a season's greetings type card for this exact reason, especially when we're a little uncertain of shipping this time of year. This year in particular, we've been warned that it's going to be a really tough year shipping-wise, and so I think that it's important to remember that sort of thing. Nothing wrong with sending a holiday-specific card. Sending a Christmas card is perfectly appropriate. But I think one of the nice things about sending a season's greeting card or even a Happy New Year card is that you can send it any time this time of year, and it'll work no matter what day that it lands on. But I've got to say, I think that they often bring so much cheer. I certainly wouldn't feel bad or laugh at someone's card if I received it after Christmas and it was a Christmas-themed card. I'd be like, oh, great! Like, oh, this is so sweet, cute, look at that! Like,
yeah,
you know.
Absolutely. Now, emailing. People have gotten into this, emailing cards. Now, is that okay?
Yeah, it absolutely is. There's no problem with emailing a card. My mom sent me a little emailed, it's like an advent calendar type card that she loves doing from a particular designer. But it's absolutely appropriate to do it. I think people appreciate both when they arrive, so there's nothing wrong with it. It's just another option that we have.
Now, in the age that we live in, the 21st century, when you get invited to a party, very few people are going to tell you how to dress, but a lot of people spend a lot of time thinking about it because nobody tells you how to dress. So what's the safe way to get by with this for a man and a woman?
So I think one of the things that's really great to have in your wardrobe is your all-occasion outfit. I think for a lot of folks, that little black dress, or that maybe it's not so little, but a black dress that they can dress up, dress down, that sort of thing, is a really useful element. I know for a lot of other people that wearing, you know, a sweater with some type of collared shirt and some nice either slacks or you know, a good pair of, like, don't laugh at me when I say it, but, like, khakis or chinos or other kind of swill pant is a really, either of those two with a nice pair of shoes is going to get you pretty far on your attire list. I think having a nice jacket or a blazer that you can throw on is a really good option, too. No matter your gender. And I think that these are the kinds of things that as we move into adulthood, having these kinds of staples in our wardrobe are really, really useful. There's also a really great tip that you can always dress something down, but it's much harder to dress something up. So if you show up at a party in a, you know, suit and tie and you're feeling way too overdressed, it's very easy to remove the coat, remove the tie, and all of a sudden you're in a, you know, maybe undo that top collar button and you're in a much more casual mode. Whereas if you show up in even really nice jeans and a sweater, but everyone else is wearing suits and you know, cocktail dresses, you might feel a little bit dressed down. And so it's harder to kind of change that a level up unless you've brought kind of a spare outfit with you, which a lot of people don't have the option of doing.
Well, you know, I was even thinking, if you show up and you, the little black dress thing, and you even feel that's too dressed up once you get there, you could put a sweater on over top of that.
Absolutely, absolutely. I know a lot of folks who also will wear flats for the reason that they're easier to dress up or down, you know, as opposed to heels, which often automatically feel in the dress-up category.
Now, should you do something, if you know it's a Christmas party and you know it's not going to be offensive, if you're going to a Christmas party, should you wear a Christmas sweater that you have, or red, or green, or Christmas earrings if you're a guy or a girl, I guess now? Should you at least try to holiday it up a little bit?
I think for all genders, being festive is always a great option. And that it's often welcome. I think people sometimes feel a little silly going for it, and it ends up being really appreciated by people. I think you get a lot of comments like, "You look festive. This is great. Look at you in your Christmas cheer." You know.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, final question here, Liz. This has been a lot of fun, I got to say. I'm so glad
I'm so glad.
I've enjoyed this. And I think it's helpful to the listeners. Now, when it comes to parties in general this time of year, if you can't make it because you're extremely busy, what's the best way to say, "I can't make it"?
Exactly that. Say, "I'm so sorry. I can't make it to this one, and I really wish that I could." You don't have to add the wish that you could if you don't actually wish that you could. If you're relieved that you can't make it, don't add that. But it's absolutely fine to just say, "Oh, I wish that I could make it to this, but unfortunately I can't this year." It's perfectly okay to decline an invitation, often doing it with sort of, I don't want to say positive regret, but you're not so regretful that you sound really depressed and remorseful about it, but that you have that kind of polite and friendly tone that a lot of us have and can access in our voice box, and use that as you issue your regrets. People understand this is a really busy time of year. I know folks who, you know, not just their weekends are booked up, but weekday parties start happening because weekends are always too full. And it's just really understandable that someone wouldn't be able to make it.
Mm. The great-great-granddaughter of the legendary Emily Post, Etiquette for the Holidays. Could not have been more fun. Lizzie, we got to get together soon again, because these are a lot of questions people want to know, and this has been a pleasure. Happy holidays to you.
Awesome. Happy holidays to you, too. Thanks a lot. Take care.
Bye-bye. That was a lot of fun, I tell you. And then now we're going to have Glenn, so the fun will end. We're going to come up in 10 minutes. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, dear friend, Dean Hargroves, for Christmas dinner. And I guess we'll exchange presents. I know what I have to get him. It's booze.